Hello and welcome to Coffee House Shots, the Spectator's daily politics podcast. This is the Saturday edition. So this week, Boris Johnson has become the leader of the Conservative Party and Prime Minister. But the Labour Party has been more worried about another new leader, Jo Swinson. In her political column this week, Katie Balls writes about why the Labour Party has been going on the attack against Swinson. I'm joined now by Katie, as well as Labour MP Stephen Kinnock, who's on the Committee for Exiting the European Union. So Katie, why is the Labour Party so worried about Jo Swinson?
Well, there's been lots of angry Jeremy Corbyn keyboard warriors this week. And if you saw the various tweets, I think you might begin to think that they were going after Boris Johnson because they've been tweeting with his outriders suggesting that there is a new leader who has a track record for overseeing years of austerity, voting for tax cuts for the super rich, and all in all pursuing a neoliberal agenda. Mm. But they're not referring to a Conservative MP, even though they might like to call her a Tory. They're talking about Jo Swinson. And I think the level of vitriol might be one word, and criticism that you're seeing from lots of Labour politicians towards Jo Swinson does tap into this concern within the Labour Party about what a resurgent Lib Dem party can do to Labour. Because up until probably under a year ago, the Liberal Democrats were seen as a bit of a joke again. It seemed as though they were destined for extinction. They were trying to have this pro-EU message, but it wasn't cutting through. And now you have this reversal of fortune where they're picking up votes and they do seem to be eating into the Labour vote. So how much damage can they do to Labour?
Stephen, as a Labour MP, are you worried?
Well, the Lib Dems have become a one-trick pony. They've very opportunistically seen that politics has become single issue. It's all about Brexit, and they've also jumped on the kind of bandwagon of polarization that we've seen. They've seen how the Brexit Party doubled down on its no deal position on Brexit, and they've said, right, we're going to double down on our pro-Remain position, and the country has polarized and divided and polarized and divided. So, you know, I think a general election, whilst the United Kingdom is still in the European Union, will play into the hands of the polarizers. The Labour Party, I think, made a serious error by trying to be all things to all people. My political hero, Nairn Bevan, famously said, if you stand in the middle of the road, you're going to get run over. And I think we should have either stuck to our guns and said, we're the party that believes that we should leave the European Union, but it's absolutely vital that we leave with a deal that protects jobs and livelihoods. Or we should have gone full on, full throated for a second referendum, a position that I wouldn't have agreed with, but at least it would have been clear. But as a result of the kind of triangulation and fence sitting, we've ended up with Remainers thinking that we're a Leave party and Leavers thinking we're a Remain party. And that could potentially be very bad news for us as a party if a general election takes place whilst the United Kingdom is still in the European Union.
And I think this is one of the big worries when I speak to figures in the Labour Party, that if the Lib Dems can tap into those Labour voters who are pro-EU, who are frustrated that there hasn't been the strongest second referendum issue, that could hurt them in metropolitan areas, so cities. But then on the other side, flip side, you have a situation where because the Labour Party have taken this half and half approach, and they see as though they're not, you know, proper Brexit, as some might say, and they're talking about a second referendum, the Tories could capitalise on in the north. And that's what Boris Johnson's team appeared to want to do, sending him up for speeches there, you know, in his first week and so forth. So you get this squeeze through the ambiguity. And I think the question is, what effect does a Lib Dem comeback have in a general election? Do they win lots of seats in their own right and then become this Remain, you know, kingmaker that has a say, or do they just eat into the Labour vote? And they could also eat into the Tory vote, but I think that you can see from speaking to Labour figures that they're just very worried about this Brexit position backfiring on both sides.
Stephen, do you see the Labour Party changing tack on this Brexit stance? If Jo Swinson is such a threat, if having a Remain party is such a threat, do you see the Labour Party changing tack and saying, actually, we'll be Remain now as well?
Well, as I outlined in an article I had in The Observer recently, I think that what we should be saying is that the withdrawal agreement bill is actually a good deal for Labour. It's full of concessions, a customs union until the next general election, a bill on workers' rights in alignment with the single market on environment and consumer standards. You know, there's lots of good offers in there for Labour. I think it's very disappointing that we dismissed it in a knee-jerk way before it even had a chance to come to Parliament for a debate and a vote. And of course, that unleashed a chain of events which led to the resignation of Theresa May. We put the fate of the country in the hands of 160,000 hardline Conservative no dealers, mostly most of them. And we now have Boris Johnson and probably the most right-wing cabinet in living memory. So I don't think it was a very good outcome to have dismissed the withdrawal agreement bill in the way that we did. I think that Jeremy Corbyn should be saying to Boris Johnson, look, you're not going to get much change out of Brussels. Maybe a slight tweak here or there in the withdrawal agreement. Bring the withdrawal agreement bill back to Parliament. That's what was it was produced as a result of the cross-party talks, and Labour MPs would be whipped to support it. And I think that there would be enough support then, both on Conservative and Labour benches, to get that over the line. I acknowledge that it's unlikely that that's going to happen, not least because Boris Johnson now seems to be going hell for leather for a no deal outcome. But in politics, last few years, I think we've all realized that making forecasts is a mug's game. All you can say is what you think should happen, not is what is actually going to happen. And I also think in electoral terms, if we can have Brexit dealt with, a general election after that is much, much better for the Labour Party, because we are a whole nation multi-issue party. We do well when we're campaigning on issues of social justice, equality, an end to austerity, you know, actually getting back our mojo from the 2017 general election. If we have a general election before the Brexit issue is resolved, we're going to have very little airtime to actually make that case for reuniting our deeply divided country. And that's why I think getting the withdrawal agreement bill over the line would not only be the right thing to do in terms of the national interest, it would also be the right thing to do politically.
And it's interesting hearing Stephen's raises concerns about an early election because for the Liberal Democrats, in terms of how they look forward, what they need is an early election before Brexit. Mm. And I think if you look, their whole strategy, all their messaging is about stopping Brexit. And that means that we're hearing a lot of talk of a potential autumn election. If you look at the rhetoric of Boris Johnson and just the sheer number of promises he's made in his first week as Prime Minister, you do think that you'll need a majority for some of those, and actually you're in campaign mode. So an autumn election could happen. And I think the problem for the Liberal Democrats is if it doesn't, they have to re-examine their Brexit message, because where they have done very well is by taking this hardline pro-Remain tone. And you heard of Bollocks to Brexit, the one that James Forsyth won't actually say on this podcast, but I can because he's not in the room. And then going and, you know, just not going as far as revoke, but teaming up with other Remain parties to make this point about Remain. And if the UK were to have left, they would then, I presume, become a rejoiner party. I presume their Remain position is so strong that they have to say, we want to rejoin the EU. Brexit hasn't been what people expected. But if you start to do that, the message does get complicated, because then you've got to say things like, we need to rejoin and we will probably have to take the euro, but it'll be worth it. And I think that's when it gets harder. So speaking to Lib Dem figures, I think it's very much they think that their time, if it is to come, is an autumn election. And the two voters that they would be aiming for are those Labour Remain voters in metropolitan areas we mentioned earlier, but also Tory voters in the southwest, voters who voted Lib Dem in the 90s, but then moved to David Cameron because they think that they just really don't like Boris Johnson, this group, when they focus group them. So there's potential there. So historically, I think the Lib Dems have done better taking seats from the Tories. So if they were to actually start taking seats from Labour, I think that would be a change in trend. But speaking to Labour figures, and Steve might have some thoughts on this, definitely there seems to be a sense with the EU elections, and sometimes that is more of a protest vote, that the usual voters that they could rely on are moving away from them because they're so frustrated over the Brexit position.
Stephen, if there's an autumn election, like many people think there could be, and as you say, Boris Johnson's got the most right-wing cabinet to some in many, many years, do you think there's a possibility of a Remain alliance between Labour and the Lib Dems?
It's possible, but I do think one of the things I would welcome with an election before we've left the European Union is those who are calling for a second referendum would finally be actually required to clarify what questions should be on the ballot paper and what's going to be in the manifesto. So let's say, you know, Labour and the Lib Dems go into the general election saying we want a referendum and we will campaign for Remain. OK, but what's the question on the ballot paper? Are you going to put the deal that Theresa May negotiated? Are you going to go out to Brussels and negotiate a different deal? Well, if you did, would you then be coming back in a referendum and campaigning against the deal that you yourselves have just negotiated? Should no deal be on the ballot paper? It's clear that a very large proportion of the electorate now embraces no deal. But we know as politicians, or those of us who kind of live in the real world, know that a no deal scenario would be an absolute disaster for the jobs and livelihoods of our constituents. So I don't think it's morally justifiable to allow a no deal option to be on the ballot paper. All of these questions have simply never been answered by the Remain campaign. You know, Jo Swinson stands up and says, bollocks to Brexit. Well, that's a very nice slogan and very easy to say. But how are you going to get what you're asking for? There again, I would go back to the withdrawal agreement bill, because, of course, one of the major compromises that was made is that there's a binding commitment on the face of the bill that if it gets to committee stage, there would be parliamentary time allocated and a binding vote on whether or not the deal should be put to a referendum. So, in fact, the withdrawal agreement bill is also the only parliamentary route to having a referendum. But none of these quite very important, serious questions ever get answered by those who are campaigning for a second referendum. So, you know, that would be one of the key points, I think, that would be coming out of a pre-Brexit election campaign is what goes into the manifesto, what is Labour's position on renegotiating. Jo Swinson seems to think she could be holding the balance of power in a new hung parliament. Okay, well, that means they've got to have a serious position as potentially even a party of government in a coalition. So, you know, I think it's time for us to move away from slogans and in towards substance and have a real plan for how we're going to actually get through all of this. And I think the British people are a bit tired of lots of politicians saying what they want without any plan as to how to get there.
And Stephen, your plan is the May deal, at least you'd like it to be. How did your Observer article go down with your Labour colleagues?
Well, you know, I think that it's interesting because a lot of colleagues sort of say to me privately, well, you know, we don't at the moment see a route to how to get a second referendum through Parliament, but nevertheless, we're campaigning for it because we've seen the opinion polls and we're very worried about the Lib Dems taking votes from us. But I kind of say to them, well, you know, we are a party of government. The Labour Party stands up to its responsibilities, and that means having a plan. And I don't think it's a responsible approach to be campaigning for something without having a clear plan as to how you get there. And I say to them, you know, I've consistently said for years now that we should leave the European Union, but 52-48 is a mandate to move house while staying in the same neighbourhood. That means having, yes, leaving the political project of the European Union, but having a kind of common market type deal with them. And they know that, and my colleagues know that. But I've also said, you know, if you want that second referendum, the only way to actually get it is to get the bill over the line at second reading and then have the vote at committee stage. And I think you should be pressing Jeremy Corbyn to make that point to Boris Johnson. But I think at the moment, colleagues feel that the electorate is so polarised that we're kind of chasing the electorate rather than actually taking a lead and setting out a pragmatic, sensible bridge-building route for reuniting our deeply divided country.
And Katie, so the Labour Party is worried about the Lib Dems. The Tories, are they worried about the Lib Dems as well? Should they be? Who would the Lib Dems harm most in a general election?
I think it ultimately depends on how well the Lib Dems do, because there are two scenarios. And the first is Lib Dems get some seats, but they eat into the Labour vote share in certain areas. And then you start to see how this helps the Tories. The second is that they actually do really well. And we're talking about, I suppose, 50 seats plus. There was one poll suggesting they could get over 100 seats. That was last weekend. I think that we all take pulls of a heavy dose of scepticism. So I'm not using that as my baseline, but there was one for if you do this Remain alliance with the Greens, they could get over 100 seats in an early election. Now, if at that point they become a kingmaker and they have to go into an electoral pact, that is bad news for the Tories, because ultimately the red line for Jo Swinson would be having a referendum of Remain on the ballot. And it's very hard to see how even a different leader to Boris Johnson could agree to that. Jo Swinson said she wouldn't do a deal with Jeremy Corbyn, but I think there is potential with someone like Keir Starmer and Tom Watson. But the Tory hope is that they don't actually do that so well. I mean, that does seem very ambitious. And instead, it eats into the Labour vote share and the Tories get to sneak on through.
And Katie, finally, you interviewed Jo Swinson for your Women with Balls podcast. What struck you about her? What is she like as a leader?
Well, I think where Jo Swinson could do very well is if you look, and this is something I write about in the column, at the previous Liberal Democrat leaders, and that is Vince Cable, Tim Farron before that, they've struggled to break free, even though they've had this very pro-EU message, which tapped into definitely a younger audience of voters, and you thought there'd be a take them from Labour. And we are getting more Brexit culture wars, but I think both of those candidates were not well placed to do it. So Tim Farron, because of his Christian beliefs, was constantly asked about what he thought about gay sex. Did he condemn it? Was it an act of the devil? And when you're trying to get socially liberal young people on board, I don't think that's very helpful. Vince Cable is in his 70s. I think that means that it's hard for him to almost really stay attuned to how people communicate these days. I mean, Jeremy Corbyn did become a cult figure, but it is a tough ask. And that was also fleeting. He hasn't been at Glastonbury recently. So I think the combination meant that neither of those people managed to. I think Jo Swinson is someone who is a proud feminist. She is someone who has strong opinions, and she's someone who I think can tap into that. And I was struck from interviewing her with that, and also just listening to her speech when I went to the Lib Dem launch this week. She spoke about what was happening in America, the way that Trump spoke about women, and you can see a way for her to almost get that younger audience.
Katie and Stephen, thanks very much. You can subscribe to this podcast through all the usual routes, and do let us know what you think. We always love hearing from you. And if you'd like to subscribe to the magazine, you can do so at spectator.co.uk/voucher and get 12 weeks of The Spectator for just £12, along with a £20 Amazon voucher. Thanks for listening, and join us again tomorrow.